Sabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Dottie Isha Abel Debra Hawkins, and I'd like to serve as a preacher starting very soon. Now it is time to fire sheets for Sabbath services. Shalom, everyone. My name is Dottie Isha Abraham, and I want to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and an honor to present to you the sons and daughters for Isha Abel now entering the sanctuary. Welcome to the women's presentation. Let us prepare our hearts and minds by being quick to obey on this Sabbath day and believe with us. And please stand and help me welcome the first speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. The title of my speech is This Belief. Every one of us has authorities, no matter who or how old you are. We have parents, supervisors, and heads. They all have instructions for us to follow. They give us rules to abide by. It is our job to follow these instructions and obey the rules given to us, whether or not we know why those rules are given. If we choose not to follow them, then a consequence comes, whether it is physical pain, such as a parent telling a child not to touch a hot stove. If the child chooses not to obey, they will get hurt. If a worker chooses not to obey their supervisor, it could hold back the work. The same is with Yahweh. He gives us instructions for us to follow and live by every day. These instructions, whether we can see it now or not, keeps us safe and healthy. They bring peace to our lives. When we follow these instructions, we don't just get by, but we thrive. In the sixth book of Israel, chapter 12, verse 31 through 33, it says, "Do you know why it carries so much weight that you believe without seeing first? You see in prophecy where it told you what Yahweh said, that you believe it. Why does it carry so much more weight than seeing and then believing? Yahweh is going to be telling you things throughout all eternity. You will never be equal with our Father Yahweh. Don't ever think you'll be smarter than Yahweh. He's going to be telling you things, and if you don't believe them without seeing, then you didn't believe them without seeing them. Yahweh would have to prove the whole thing over again. It's very important that you believe without seeing, and you show that proof to Yahweh by getting yourself ready. As I've told you, get yourself ready for the family and the 2 billion. In the fourth book of Israel, chapter 14, verse 114, it says, "The people after you are going to have so much more proof than what you're basing your faith on now. You're believing without seeing, as Abraham did. This is what is going to be making us special to Yahweh. It's making us special to Him because we believe without seeing." And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech for today is, We Prove Our Belief in Yahweh's Every Word Through Obedience to the One Sent. The word belief means to have confidence in the truth, the existence, or the reliability of something. To have confidence in faith or in the truth of a positive assertion or story. Turn to Luke 24:25. Then he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The prophets said we would have a weapon that would darken the sun in these last days. In Daniel 12:4 it says, But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the books until the time of the end. Many will run to and fro and knowledge will be increased. History shows that the knowledge wasn't increased until 1934, which was the birth of Yeshua Hawkins. In Isaiah 44:7, Yahweh gave authority to the two witnesses to foretell future events for this time period. Yahweh sent Yeshua Hawkins in these last days to foretell of the events that are unfolding and will unfold in this generation. In Isaiah 45:1, it says that pastor's reward is to be at Yahweh's left hand, but we can only receive this reward if we're in unity with the body and believe in order to obey the one sent without seeing. Some of these things we've already seen come to pass, others are still unfolding, and some are still yet to come. But if we believe into the one sent through obedience to Yahweh's every word, then Yahweh promises us a great position in his kingdom. There is still one prophecy yet to come in Revelation 13:13. And he does great wonders, so he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. I would like to conclude my speech with a quote from the 10th book of Yeshua, part 1, chapter 11, verse 30. Believe into the one sent, and if you do this, as Yeshua said, then you will be a part of that work, and you'll be a part of the kingdom. You will have proved yourself as being in unity with Yah. I thank you for your time, and with that, I would like to turn over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please sit. Let the peace of Yahweh be with all of us here today, all those who are joining us over different forms of media, and all those who hunger and thirst after Yahweh's righteousness. Today, I welcome our Holy Women of New, a wonderful group, who are going to be speaking on the theme, Believing Without Seeing. Believing Without Seeing. This is the new theme we will be speaking on for the next couple of, I guess, Sabbaths. But before we jump into this theme, I'd like to do a nice summary, a little closure to our love theme, because love is such a nice thing. Not that this is the end of loving the great house of Yahweh. No. Love is what Yahweh is all about. So just for us to put that nice closure and summary to it, I'd like to play a video on 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Please read with me and enjoy. May we have the video, please? 1 Corinthians 13, love in the house of Yahweh. Please read. Though I speak with the languages of men and of Malachim, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all deep secrets and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my possessions to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, no advantage to me. Love is nice. Love is nice. Love is not. Love is not. It is not puffed up with pride. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own advantage. Is not provoked. Become worked up in irritation. Thinks no. Very nice. Does not rejoice in. But rejoices in the. Very nice. Does not betray, believes all things, hopes, endures. Love never, but where there are prophecies, there will be nice. Where there are languages, there will. Where there is knowledge, it will be replaced by complete. For we know in, and we prophesy in. But when that which is perfect comes, then that which is in part imperfect will vanish away. When I was a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now we are looking in a mirror that gives only a blurred reflection. But then, face to face with perfection. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, even as I am now fully known. But now these three things endure. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is? The greatest of these is love. Praise Yahweh, and we know what love is. So now to jump into believing without seeing our first great speaker. Praise Yahweh.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. The title of my speech today is, Will You Believe? How many of you would believe me right now if I told you that it was going to snow? Yes, you heard me right. It's going to snow. Let me see a show of hands. Okay, now, what if I told you that my track record was 100% accurate? Would you believe me then? Now, for all of you who were looking forward to snow, the likelihood of it snowing today is slim to none, meaning it's probably not going to occur. But I can tell you, someone who has always known what is going to take place. From the very beginning, he had everything planned out, when, where, and exactly how it would take place. He knew each one of us before we were born. He knew everything we would go through in life, the ups and the downs, and even the choices we have made and are making. He knows our thoughts, even the ones going through our minds at this very moment. He even inspired many prophets throughout history who foretold of things that would take place in this time period so that we would believe he can foretell the future. I'm sure you all have guessed it by now. I'm talking about our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. Do we believe what the prophets wrote for us in scriptures? Do we believe that nuclear war is coming? Or are we going to be one of the ones who says, when it occurs, then I'll believe? In 2 Kings chapter 6, we see an account of someone who did not believe without seeing. The king of Aram was at war with Israel, and the prophet Elisha had told the king of Israel not to pass by their area. When the king of Aram found out that Elisha was helping the king of Israel, he wanted Elisha captured and brought to him. And if we turn over to 2 Kings chapter 6, in 2 Kings chapter 6, found on page 306, and we're going to look at verses 14 through 17. So he dispatched a strong force of horses and chariots there. They set out by night and surrounded the city. So when the servants of the man of Yahweh got up early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. The servant asked, O my ruler, what shall we do? He answered, Do not fear, because those who are with us are more than those who are with them. So Elisha prayed and said, Yahweh, I pray, open his eyes so he may see. Then Yahweh opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. In this account, we see that Elisha's servant was fearful, and the only way he was going to believe they would be protected was if he saw it with his own eyes. But whether we believe without seeing or we have to see to believe, Yahweh is going to make a believer out of us. But the blessings will go to those who believe without seeing. In the sixth book of Yisrael, chapter 21 and verse 81 through 82, Pastor says, well, the second phase of the plan now, as we see here in Genesis 1:26, then Yahweh said, I will make man in my image. So he made the earth. Let it be destroyed. Let all life be destroyed totally from the face of the earth, which would take place with mankind too. If Yahweh didn't step in at the last moment and stop it, but he's not going to step in until all of you have seen it. He's going to prove without a doubt, even in the dumbest person's mind. Everything Yahweh has said is going to come to pass, but it doesn't come to pass when we think it should. It's going to take place all in Yahweh's time. Yahweh is wanting to see if we are going to wait on him no matter how long it takes, and if we are going to continue to believe the one sent. Take, for example, Yahshua, when he sat on the Mount of Olives with his disciples, showing them the temple and telling them that it would be completely destroyed and not one stone would be left sitting on top of another. Yahshua wasn't even 40 years old when he told them this, but he knew and believed that it was going to occur, and almost 40 years later it did. The same thing occurred with Nineveh. The prophet Jonah said it was going to be destroyed, but it didn't occur right away. Yahweh allowed it to go on a little longer. The thing that made all of these people great in Yahweh's eyes was that no matter what, they did as Yahweh had told them, and they believed that these things were going to occur. They even believed that certain things would take place that weren't in their time period. And in Hebrews chapter 11, and verse 13, it says, all these died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, received the promise, but not having received them afar off, and were convinced of them and embraced them. It's everyone's choice if they want to believe it or not. Yahweh can't force anyone to believe, although someone would be really foolish not to after seeing how accurate Yahweh has been time and time again in the prophecies that are taking place. The thing we have to keep in mind is that there will be no second opportunities. We have been given an opportunity, which is right now, to believe everything we have been taught. Yujiel Hawkins has been teaching us for over 40 years now that nuclear war is coming. For some of us, that's been our whole life. But we can't lose hope because it's been so long. Everything will occur in Yahweh's time. He just wants to see if we are going to believe without seeing it first. In the fourth book of Yujiel, chapter 14 and verse 114, it says, pastor's reading of Matthew 16, verse 17. Yahshua answered and said to them, blessed are you, Simon, son of Yonah, for flesh and blood only has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Think of this now. Yahweh's Holy Spirit opens your mind where you can see, have faith, full confidence, and be willing to lay down your life for what he has said and written in a book. And the people after you are going to have so much more proof than what you're basing your faith on now. You're believing without seeing, as Abraham did. This is what's going to make us special to Yahweh. It's making us special to him because we believe without seeing. We are special to him. We will inherit this great kingdom of Yahweh because of this belief. So let's not give up our opportunity. Let's keep striving for this great position in Yahweh's kingdom by believing without seeing. That is what makes us special to Yahweh. Now I will turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom. Please be seated. Belief and trust go hand in hand. You can't believe someone if you don't trust them. And you can't trust someone if you don't believe them. Google says believe is to accept something as truth, feel secure of the truth. Yahweh says to believe him. Positive law number one, believe in Yahweh as the only source of the power in the universe. Exodus 20 verse 2. Believing without seeing is when you believe something will come to pass or take place before it actually does. Like with the prophecies, Yahweh inspired his prophets to write certain things. Most of the things they wrote about did not take place in their time period. The things that took place in their lifetimes were prophesied years in advance before it actually occurred. In fact, some of these prophecies came to pass before some of the holy men and women of old were even born. You show your belief through your actions. An example of belief is Nora. She believed that Yeshua Messiah was going to die and be in the grave for 3 days and three nights. She showed her belief by pouring an alabaster jar of very expensive ointment on Yeshua Messiah's head in preparation for his burial, as shown in Matthew 26:6-13. In Yochanan chapter 20, verse 27-29, we have an example of unbelief, doubting Thomas. Thomas did not believe Yeshua Messiah was raised from the dead until he put his hand in Yeshua's side. That's more like touching or feeling to believe. Even though we did not live in Noah, Daniel, or the Apostle Kephas time period, we need to believe the scriptures, which say they are great men of Yahweh. They all spoke of things that have or will take place in our time period. Acts 24:14, page 867. Acts 24:14. Believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. So here's a few things that have yet to come to pass in our time period, but we need to believe they will. This last 3.5 year time period will be cut short. 2 billion people will come to Yahweh's house. Yahweh will make us in his image. The resurrection will take place. We will clean up the earth. We will teach the universe Yahweh's laws of peace, and we will have a great marriage supper with Yeshua Messiah. Some things that have already come to pass in our time period is an increase in knowledge as Daniel prophesied, birth of the nuclear baby, the message of Yahweh would go to all nations, and disease epidemics would increase, as it says in Matthew 24:7. Having the ability to hold and read the book of Yahweh should also prove that prophecies do come to pass. We can and should accept the words of Yahweh as truth. Yahweh cannot and will not lie. Knowing that Yahweh won't lie should help us to believe. Hebrews 6:18, page 946, Hebrews 6:18. In order that through two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for Yahweh to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Understanding this fact, it would be wise for us to believe in these prophecies before they come to pass. 1 Kefa 1:8, page 957, 1 Kefa 1:8. Although you have not seen him, you love him, whom now do you not see, yet believing you rejoice with inexpressible joy and full of glory. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, page 928, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason also, we thank Yahweh continually, because when you received the word of Yahweh, the law and the prophets, which you heard from us, you did not receive it as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of Yahweh, the law and the prophets, which also powerfully works in you who believe. This scripture shows us that when we practice the works of Yahweh, believing in these prophecies through Yahweh's house, that shows we trust in him. In Yochanan 6:28-29, page 821. Yochanan 6:28-29. Then they said to him, "What must we do that we might work the works of Yahweh?" And Yeshua answered and said to them, "This is the work of Yahweh, that you believe into him whom he has sent." Remember, Yahweh does not lie. If Yahweh says something, it will come to pass. We have to believe it. We show our beliefs not just through our words, but through our actions and our works. I'd like to thank the greatest teacher in the world, Conyusual Abel Hawkins, for teaching us how to believe without seeing. And if you'll please stand for the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. This is the 613 Peaceful Solution Law Book. I've been reading it. Today I'm going to go over positive law number 3, love Yahweh with all your heart, soul, and might, Deuteronomy 6:5. It has 85 pages in it, and Pastor is 85 years old. I wanted to give you a glimpse into this law to show you how simple the laws are. I was born cursed in this world, and I didn't know love. But I can say that I know it now with each and every one of you here today. and that makes me blessed. To fully understand the law, you must understand that the following scriptural facts, Genesis 3, 1 through 5, how Adam and Eve turned to God worship, and that the gods practiced a mixture of righteousness and evil. And Yahweh's way, Psalms 19, 7 through 9. The laws of Yahweh are perfect, converting the whole person. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making the simple ones wise. This is all of us. Yahweh has allowed us to be free moral agency for 6,000 years, all the while telling us what the way of rebellion would lead to. Now, in the last days of the 6,000 years of mankind, Yahweh would once again start a work. The purpose of this work is to once again teach man the error of his ways, wicked ways, and how to develop peace on earth. In Isaiah 2:2, it will come to pass in the last days that the mountain promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nations and will be raised above all congregations, and all the nations will eventually flow to it. You now have an insight into the history of mankind. You've seen how he's fallen away from peace and chosen the way of the gods, the way of war and destruction. With this in mind, your mind should be determined to be 100% on the love of Yahweh. What did Yeshua say about this law in Matthew 22, 36 through 40? Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Yeshua said, you must love Yahweh with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And these two commandments hang, depend all the laws and the prophets. You cannot truly come to know Yahweh if you hate your neighbor. You must first learn to love your neighbor. And First Yochanan 2:20, if anyone says, I love Yahweh and hates his neighbor, he is a liar. And he does not love his neighbor whom he has seen. How can he love Yahweh whom he hasn't seen? And First Yochanan 2:3, By this, we know that we know him, if we keep his laws. The first benefit that a person receives from this law, love Yahweh with all your heart, soul, and might, is that Yahweh reveals himself to the individual. Yahweh will open the person's mind to understand that the only way to peace is by keeping all of Yahweh's laws. That the person will hunger and thirst after Yahweh's law and will seek the place where Yahweh places his name. That person will desire to be taught Yahweh's perfect laws, and that person will desire to become like Yahweh, perfect in character. In 2 Corinthians 5:5-7, now that he prepares for us this very thing is Yahweh, who has also given us the Spirit as guarantee. Therefore, having confidence always, and knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are away from our home out of Yahweh, for we walk by the faith and not in sight. These blessings can be easily proven for yourself. However, they can be difficult to prove to those whose minds have been blinded by the gods, who refuse to submit to keeping Yahweh's laws. But Yahweh does teach us how he will permit us to prove him. And Malachi 3:10, bring all your tithes into the storehouse that there can be food in my house and prove me now. That he will open the windows of heaven for you and pour out a blessing. There would not be enough room to store it. Pay your tithes and see. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, for the gods Elohim of this world, led by Satan, have blinded the minds of those who do not believe, so that the light of the message of the glory of the Messiah, who is the image of Yahweh, should not shine unto him. In Revelations 22:14, blessed are those who keep his laws, that they may have the right to the tree of life and enter into the gates into the city. These blessings are for everyone. The curse is not keeping and obeying and upholding this law. In Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity, the breaking of Yahweh's laws will abound, the love of many will grow cold. For every decision not to keep the laws of Yahweh, the associated curses have been foretold. For example, when a woman decides to have an abortion, she has allowed a curse to come upon the fruit of her womb. In Deuteronomy 28:18, cursed will be the fruit of your body, the produce of your land, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flock. Her choice did not affect just her and her child. It affected everybody and everything for generations. The people of this world kill daily, without much thought. Abortion is murder. We have been commanded not to murder. Another curse brought on oneself for not keeping the laws of Yahweh is suicide. The tragedy here is that suicide reflects not only the sins of the individual who commits it, but also the conditions brought on by the parents and the forefathers who did not keep Yahweh's laws. In Exodus 25, you shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, Yahweh, your Father, am a zealous heavenly Father, punishing the children to the third and fourth generations who hate me. Yahweh didn't bring these. You breaking the laws brought these curses, not Yahweh. Suicide is another manifestation of violence that we have been taught all our lives. All the children began hearing and learning the curses of the world while still in the womb. It's not surprising that many learn violence, the most frequently employed solution to today's problems in the world. In Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The children of this world have been trained very well to hate the laws of Yahweh, and these curses affect everyone and everything. To begin to explain, Yahweh is easy. Yahweh is love. That is why his laws heavily stresses kindness, compassion toward your fellow man. Yahweh and his laws are the ultimate definition of love. All true and perfect love is from Yahweh. In 1 Yochanan 4:7-12, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from Yahweh. And everyone who loves is begotten of Yahweh and knows Yahweh. Yahweh has sent his Son into the world in order that we might live through him. And in this love, not that we loved Yahweh, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the sacrifice of atonement for our sins. Yahweh gave up everything, waiting for us to choose to love him. Yahweh so loved us. We also ought to love one another. No man has seen Yahweh at this time. If we love one another, Yahweh dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. In Leviticus 19:34, the stranger living with you, you shall love him as yourself. I am Yahweh. The conclusion, why is it so important to love Yahweh with all your heart, soul, and might? The answer is simple. As we have seen, love means being in agreement with, loyal to, supportive of, in unity with, of one mind with, caring for, concerned for, and with the same goals as Yahweh himself. If we desire to sin, we will contribute to the ways that bring destruction. However, if we do come into unity with this law, we will be in unity with Yahweh as a part of the only system that leads to peace, joy, love, and abundant living, also creating everlasting peace. So call the South office and get your book. Yahweh bless your understanding. I turn it over to the next teacher.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You can be seated. Continuing on in this theme of believing without seeing, my title is Positive Law Number 1, Believe in Yahweh as the only source of power in the universe. Now, we know we are supposed to believe in Yahweh. The word believe means to have a firm or wholehearted religious conviction or persuasion to regard the existence of Yahweh as a fact. Now, we know we are supposed to believe in Yahweh. And as positive law number one says, believe in Yahweh as the only source of power in the universe. So the word believe in the Ametria is number 360, 60, and 746. And you're going to see even in the Ametria, it proves that Yahweh is the only source of power in the universe. It also talks about his influence. It talks about Abel. And lastly, the authority to reign. So in Hebrew, the word 360 means strength, power, a title of the only, of the one true Yahweh, with the focus that he is potent of help, to help. And the word potent means to have great power, influence, or effect. And in the first book of Israel, Pastor talks about the gods and how they have power, but theirs is limited. They can only influence you to certain things. But Yahweh's power is not limited, and his influences to us are righteous and positive. The Hebrew word 60 means to mourn from 56, which means Abel. And the Greek 746 means begin, origin, fast, rule, power, position of authority. Now, how do we know that Yahweh is the only source of power in the universe? Through prophecy. Prophecy is for the believers, not the fools, as Luke 24:25 says. And we see the end of the fools is written in Revelation 21:8. They will end in the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. The lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So prophecy proved this, that Yahweh is the only source of power in the universe. But what is prophecy, and where do we find prophecy? Prophecy is a prediction or a forecast, and prophecy is written in the book of Yahweh. Now, since it's written in the book of Yahweh, does it mean that Yahweh himself wrote it? No, Yahweh uses men, mankind, as we see in 2 Kefa 1:21 in page 961 of your scriptures, and it says, "For the prophecy did not come in the former times, but by the will of men, but holy men of Yahweh spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So I put in Yemetria, who are the holy men of Yahweh? And it came to 3088, 1716, and 286. In Hebrew, 3088 means Yahweh exalts. And in Greek, it means a lamp, usually of clay or metal, with olive oil to fuel its wicks. Now, that made me think of the seven-lamp lampstand, which represents the seven works of Yahweh. In Hebrew, 1716 means to care for, hatch eggs, gather, seated. And that made me think of Yeshua Messiah, where he said, "I will gather them as the hen gathers her chicks." In Greek, 1716 means to spit on, spit at, spit upon, spitted on. And what does that make you think? About Pastor when he was spat on. Do you remember that? In Greek, 286, it means lamb. And we know that is Yeshua Messiah, the high priest over the house of Yahweh. So isn't that Yasam that in the Yematria for the holy men, who are the holy men of Yahweh? We see Yahweh, Yeshua, and Pastor. Praise Yahweh. Turn to 2 Kefa chapter 3, verse 2. It shows that these words were spoken by the prophets and apostles. And in these last days, we do have a great prophet among us. Do you know his name? Can you shout it out? Yes, Israel Hawkins. And to prove that, we can see Revelation 11, chapter 3, on page 977 in your scriptures. And it says, "I will give to my two witnesses to perform their prophetic offices." See, prophetic offices. "And they will foretell events." Isn't that the work of a prophet, to foretell events? So please note that it is beyond the wisdom of mankind to foretell the future. Remember, the prophets of Yahweh spoke as they were moved by Yahweh's Spirit. And it's only Yahweh who claims the power and the wisdom to do that. For my last scripture, Isaiah 45:21-22 says, "Speak out, bring out your proof near. Yet, yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has foretold it from that time? Have not I, Yahweh? And there is no source of power except me, a just Father and a Savior. There is none but me. Look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am Yahweh and there is no other source of power." In conclusion, you cannot see Yahweh, but his works are evident, and the prophecy proves this 100%. And with this, I'll turn to the next speaker.
Shalom. Please be seated. Okay, so as you heard the other speaker say, believe means to accept something as true, feel sure of the truth of. Yochanan 20, verse 29. Yeshua said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." We live in a generation where few people tell the truth and even fewer people expect the truth to be told. It is hard to believe anything unless it's staring us straight in the face. However, Yahweh does not lie.
Hebrews 6, verse 18. In order that the two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for Yahweh to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. In order for us to believe without seeing, we must have faith. Faith means complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Romans 10, verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Yahweh. Once we hear the word of Yahweh, we need to put our full trust into that. Faith is not an accomplishment. It is a continuous action, something we must work hard on every day. Each day, we should work to build our faith through acquiring knowledge given to us by the one sent, and he teaches us about the prophecies and tells us what we should believe. Yochanan 6, verse 29. This is the work of Yahweh, that you believe in him who has sent. Yahweh has sent teachers throughout all of man's history. There have been teachers that are sent by Yahweh to teach us righteousness. The one for our generation is Yisrael Hawkins. So we must believe into him so that we can have a place in Yahweh's kingdom. Galatians 3, verse 22. However, that which is written, the law, prophets, and writings, has shut all up in the power of sin, in order that the promise, through the faith in Yeshua Messiah, might be given to those who believe. In the side note there, side note M, it says the 144,000. This is talking about the priesthood. So if you want to be in that, which it's a beautiful thing, then you have to believe. Believe without seeing. 1 Kefa 1, verse 17. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, which perishes, though it is tried with fire, might be worthy of praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Yeshua Messiah. Yes, we are being tested, but we are all strong. And Yahweh said in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, that he won't give us more than we can bear. We should not let people or circumstances affect what we believe. We can make sure we are ready for the 2 billion by studying. So people are going to come here, and we have to make sure we are ready to teach them, and we can do that by studying. We must believe ourselves first. Like, we must believe into the one sent and everything that is teaching, so that when they come, we will be able to teach them how to believe too. Studying increases understanding, and understanding strengthens belief. Positive law number one says believe in Yahweh as the only source of power in the universe. Another speaker said that as well. So we have to believe in Yahweh. It's actually a law. So we must believe in Yahweh. Yahweh's laws are perfect, and each one of them needs to be followed so that we can have a place in his kingdom and be forever teachers of righteousness. In the scriptures, we see many people who believed. Like Noah, whenever he was building the ark, he believed that this flood was coming, so he got everything ready. And there were a lot of people that were doubting it, but Noah never let that affect him, and he never doubted it himself. He always believed in Yahweh and trusted in Yahweh, which is something that we also need to do in this time period. So there's a lot of people in the scriptures who believed in Yahweh, and they were blessed for that. So I encourage you all to believe into Yahweh, just like me, and work on studying and becoming teachers of righteousness. And with that, I would like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, y'all can be seated. Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting Father, Yahweh, the creator of the ends of the earth, he does not grow faint nor become weary. So let us not grow weary of doing righteousness, for in due time we will reap if we do not faint, if we endure to the end. The title of my speech today is Preparing for Eternity. So at this time, our great overseer, Yeshua Hawkins, he is preparing us for eternity, and we're almost there. There are a few steps that you have to take in order to be ready for this preparation. So the first step is Deuteronomy 12:5, and these are steps that we're all familiar with, steps that we're actually practicing at this time. We go to the place Yahweh chose to establish his name. Now, do you believe that you're in that place? Everybody? Praise Yahweh. Yes, we are. When you go to that place, then you go to you do Deuteronomy 17:9. You go to the priest and you ask, what must I do to be made in the image and likeness of Yahweh? That's number two. Number three, when you ask, you obey. You don't ask just to get an answer. You ask and you obey. And when you obey, you believe. And that is positive law number 172. You can find that in Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 19. The first book of Israel, chapter 33, verse 92, Yeshua says, Yeshua cleansed those who turned to him, those who believed on him to the extent of obeying what he said. That is what that word believe means. We get the instructions, we obey, and that strengthens our belief. Now, we believe into the one sent, who is Yeshua Hawkins in these last days. There are times when Yeshua Hawkins will send someone else. Are you going to believe them? Are you going to obey them? Just because he didn't tell you from his own mouth. If you do not obey the instructions of the one that Yeshua Hawkins sent, then you're not believing and you're not obeying. And Yeshua told us that you don't have the word because you don't believe him who was sent. And that was in Yochanan 5, verse 38. So if you don't believe into the one sent, you can't understand the scriptures. You can't understand what's being taught. And we need Yeshua Hawkins to teach us these things. Now, I've never, ever seen Yeshua come out on stage and introduce Yeshua Hawkins. Never seen that. If anybody's seen that, blessed are you. I've never seen it. But I do believe that Yeshua Hawkins and Yeshua Messiah are working together. The scriptures tell us that. We know that from Zechariah. That they are working together. Also, another thing that you do to prepare for eternity is 2 Samaya 2:15. You study. You study, study, study. Study to show yourself approved to Yahweh. Now, last week, our great overseer told us, you can't believe the scriptures unless you study. So you can't be combative and things like that if you don't know what's written. And you have to believe these things, even if your understanding isn't there. You can fast, you can pray, you can ask Yahweh to help you to believe these things. You don't have to just say, well, because I don't understand, I don't believe. You know, that's the quickest way to get you burned in hell. Just believe and study and practice these simple steps, because Yeshua is preparing us for eternity. When we go through our tests and our trials, these are the trainings that we're getting. We need to understand what we are prepared for, what we need to work on, things like that. You won't know what you need to work on if you've never gone through a situation. He puts you through these things. He puts you in these different situations and interactions so that you can examine yourself and say, okay, I did this correctly or I did not do this correctly. What we're going through now is temporary. This is temporary. For all eternity, we will be keeping Yahweh's laws. We'll be rejoicing. We'll be keeping the feast. These are the things that we're already doing right here. These are the things that Yeshua Hawkins is teaching us. He is preparing us for eternity, and he's doing an amazing job. Praise God. Thank you. So we should not grow weary of doing righteousness, and righteousness is believing into the one sent. Now, I have a great opportunity in Yahweh's house, in Yahweh's work, to answer the phones. And it's amazing. It's to believe into the one sent is detrimental to our eternal life, our salvation. Because I speak with people who once believed, but now they don't. Now they believe that they're the one sent. And, you know, I kind of laughed once when somebody called and said they were the white buffalo, and somebody called and said they were Yeshua. But people believe this because they did not believe into the one sent, because they did not believe all that the prophets have spoken. So now they believe that they can obtain eternal their salvation and eternal life without Yeshua Hawkins, without the teachings of the house of Yahweh, without gathering themselves together for the Sabbath. They believe these things. I don't ever, ever want to know that feeling. I need Yeshua Hawkins. I need the work of Yahweh. I need each and every one of you. Pastor also said, it's a deliberate sin if you don't believe right now. I believe that he is begging us. He told us that Yahweh's not going to come down and beg us. He is begging us right now at this time. There's no reason that we should not believe what he is telling us. There's no reason. He shows us both sides of the coin. He doesn't tell us, you know, you're going to be floating around on a harp. Oh, just believe. He doesn't tell us. He tells us things, and he tells us to practice these things. And he doesn't tell us things that he is not practicing himself. So when we are giving instructions to other people, we should be practicing those things as well. And that will build their belief in us, and that'll build their belief in Yahshua. That'll build their belief in Yahweh, the house of Yahweh, the plan of Yahweh. I've never been to Yahweh Shema. I believe I'm going to be there. I believe that in 3,999 years, me and some of my sisters are going to celebrate trumpets together in Yahweh Shema. I believe that. And I hope that you all believe that too. And just remember that Yahweh does not grow weary, and neither should we, in our belief and our doing righteousness. And with this, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, you may all be seated. Please sit. Thanks, Yahweh. I've always stood on. Those aren't my words. But those four words, they've been sticking with me for the last few weeks. They've been in my head over and over and over. I've always stood on. In the first book of Yisrael that we're going over with our great overseer, he's talking about the prophecies concerning the seven-year peace treaty, most specifically the last 3.5 years that we're in. And he said those words. He said, I've always stood on, referring to the laws and prophecies. He's always stood on them. No matter what, he knows they're going to come to pass. So let those words sink in. I've always stood on. That's the example of belief that we have before us right now. There's no hesitation. There's no maybe, could be. No, it will come to pass. In the fourth book of Yisrael, chapter 4, verse 32, it says, a true minister of Yahweh will stand on his own with the help of Spirit Holy, no matter who agrees with him. And the overseer said, he said, I've had to do that all my life. I've had people laugh at me. I trusted the scriptures, so I knew for a fact that Yahweh was going to bring this about. I didn't need a pack behind me to believe Yahweh. Who else does that remind you of? Reminds me of our great high priest Yeshua. Remember he said in Yochanan when he talked about his disciples, he said, you know, when they turned and no longer followed him, he said, are you also going to leave? Simon Kiefer said, "Teacher, to whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life." We believe and are sure that you are the Messiah. It also reminds me of Yeshua. Remember Yahweh said of him, you know, he's a perfect, he's blameless man in my sight. So Yahweh allowed his family, his possessions, everything to be taken away from him, even down to his health. But yet, he didn't lose his belief in Yahweh. Even when his own wife urged him to curse Yahweh, he said, "No, no." So think about just these three examples, because there's so many in the scriptures. They always stood on the laws and prophecies. Did they go through tests and trials? Of course, because that's also in prophecy. $10 million bail, false accusations, sued to take away the name of Yahweh. Or Yeshua, remember it was said, "If you are the son of Yahweh, throw yourself down, or I will give you all these things if you will fall down and worship me." Or Yeshua, children, possessions, health, gone in an instant. Yet they stood on. They stood on the laws and prophecies. Their belief in Yahweh, it never wavered. When I think about that, this is what I picture in my mind. I picture one of those tall skyscrapers. You're standing on the ground and you're looking up, and it's like this building, it touches the sky. This building, it was built to withstand an earthquake. So the earthquake comes, you know, the shaking and the tremors. And the building, it slowly starts to just sway back and forth, just a little bit, just flexing. And you think, how can this building, so far up, how can it not fall over? Well, it's all about that foundation. Yeshua said in Matthew 16:18, he said, "Upon this rock, Yahweh unity, I will build this house. The gates of Sheol will not prevail against it." They didn't forget Yahweh. They didn't forget that Yahweh was the one who put these prophecies out for us. They didn't forget that this is Yahweh's plan. We're just a part of it. They didn't forget that there isn't anything too hard for our Father. Almighty, merciful and compassionate, long-suffering, abounding, possessing righteousness and truth, keeping mercy, forgiving, judging sin, Heavenly Father, making the covenant with his, doing marvels, awesome and zealous. What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, Samuel the prophet, all of these who died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were convinced of them and embraced them. Of course, I had to go back to Hebrews chapter 11. But that word convinced, it's persuaded. Trust, obey, have confidence, believe. Our great overseer, in closing last week, he said, "Your people will have proved themselves before." When I think about that before, I think we have to show Yahweh our belief right now. There's no time to wait. We can't do it later. We have to believe without seeing. We do, right? We do. That's why we're here. Yes, there are more prophecies that are going to be fulfilled. Yahweh's plan will be accomplished. It will all come to pass. Now is the time for us to stand strong. It's okay. It's okay if you feel like you're feeling a little shaky sometimes, because you know what? Tested, proved, disciplined, chastened, shifted, sifted, purged. Yeah, we have to go through all that. That's also part of the plan to see if we will stand on these laws and prophecies. Are we there for one another? Now, I'm not talking about the there to listen to the gripes, the complaining and everything. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Our overseer said, he said, as time passes, you realize in your life that you want peace. And that's what we want. I don't want to know the gossip. I don't want to know what you're going through. But I will, if you tell me you're having a tough time, I'll be there. I'll send you a motivational scripture. I'll tell you that we can do this, because together we can do this. That's how we are there for one another. That's how we can stand in unity with our great overseer. Yes, we're in the last days. It's getting closer to feast. The pressure is on. But we can do it. We can stand strong. We can stand in our place. Remember Ephesians chapter 6, it says, stand therefore. Have in your waist belted with the truth, your breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the message of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. So let it be said of us at the city of Yisrael and all who belong here near and far that we believed without seeing, that they've always stood on the laws and the prophecies taught to us by our great overseer who stands with Yahweh and Yeshua forever. Yahweh bless you all. Please stand for the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Yahweh's peace be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is Remember the Promises. In this time period called the last days, we are looking forward to the prophecies being fulfilled. Our greatest teacher, the seventh Malach, Pastor Yisrael Hawkins, has painstakingly taken the time to teach us and show us the things which are shortly coming to pass. How blessed are we to be able to know these prophecies and see them taking place before our very eyes. Our theme today is believe without seeing, to believe the prophecies that are being fulfilled. And while prophecy is being fulfilled, we also have to remember to believe without seeing the promises that Yahweh has for us. The word believe, as we heard many times, means accept as true. It also means to have faith and confidence in. There comes a time after we've been here for so long a time, while we've been working and while we've been waiting, that our confidence becomes shaken. Something that we came to understand and that we're so confident in, this becomes shaken. Turn over to Hebrews 3, verse 12 through 15. It says, be on guard, brothers, that there not be found in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living Father. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, so that none of you become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. If we are made partakers with Yeshua, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the day of provocation. We go through these struggles and the trials of our faith, and at times, it does shake our resolve to continue to believe in the message, in his house, and in Yahweh, and to believe into the one who was sent, who has been sent. In 2 Corinthians, verse 4, 17 through 18, the heading says, the invisible things are forever. It goes on to say, for our light and momentary afflictions are achieving in us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. So we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So what are the things that we should believe without seeing? Well, let's remember Yahweh's promises. In Deuteronomy 6, when Moshe brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he knew he wasn't going to cross the Jordan River with them, but with great belief, this is what he said to them. When Yahweh your father brings you into the land he vowed with uplifted hands to give you to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and flourishing cities which you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of wonderful things that you did not provide. dug out wells which you did not dig out, vineyards, olive trees which you did not plant. He goes on to say in verse 7, Yahweh will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will bless the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your land, your grain, your new wine, your oil, the increase of your cattle and the offsprings of your flock in the land he vowed on earth oath to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all people. There shall be males and there shall not be males and females barren among you, nor among the livestock. Yahweh will take away from you all the sicknesses, and you will not be afflicted with the diseases of Egypt. Remember that Yahweh, that our lives are not for now. Now is a preparation time. We will fully live soon if we endure, if we strengthen ourselves in Yahweh and draw near to him. In Yeremia 29, verse 11, it says, For I know the thoughts, plans, that I have for you, says Yahweh, thoughts of peace and not of destruction, to give you the future you hope for. Also in 1 Kefa, verse 3 through 8, it says, Blessed be Yahweh, the Father of our King Yeshua Messiah, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Yeshua Messiah from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and which does not fade away, reserving in the heavens for you, who are kept by the power of Yahweh through the faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the end time. In this you greatly rejoice. Yes, we greatly rejoice, looking forward to Yahweh's promises. Though now a little while you must suffer grief through manifold temptations, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold which perishes, though it is tried in the fire, might be found worthy of praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Yeshua Messiah. Although you have not seen him, you love him, whom now you do not see, yet you believe. You rejoice with exceeding joy and full of glory. The apostles, like we've heard previously, died knowing the promises. Their belief had to be so strong. We don't have to die. Our promises are at the very door. Praise Yahweh. Believe that Yahweh knows what we are going through and that our tests are custom made for us to learn from. We have to allow our tests and allow Yahweh, like I often say, to be awesome, to carry us through these tests. Yahweh allowed me exactly 2 years ago now to go through the toughest test up until that point I had ever gone through. He showed me a lot of things about myself, but two of the main things that he showed me was that I still had a lot of resistance within me. Resistance to the work that Yahweh wants to do within me. Remember, Yahweh knows the plan he has for each and every one of us. He also showed me the benefit of surrendering to him. In Psalms 55, verse 22, it says, Cast your cares on Yahweh, for he will sustain you. The benefit of surrendering to Yahweh is allowing him to finish that work he started in you, which is life. So remember the promise the house of Yahweh, our mother, has taught us. In Luke 12, verse 32, Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's righteous pleasure to give you the kingdom. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom. Please be seated. Today we are speaking about the importance of believing without seeing. When I think about believing without seeing, the very first thing I think about is how intelligent Yahweh is. I almost can just say that's all I have to say. I mean, Yahweh is extremely intelligent. Pastors taught us that he has tested and tried every single thing about his plan. We know it's perfect. He's got everything set up perfectly for us. We know that Yahweh says to believe into the one sent. there we have it. Overseer Yisrael Hawkins is Yahweh to us. Pastor has everything set up perfect for us, just as Yahweh has allowed him to do. I think about how Pastor teaches us right from wrong. He teaches us how to behave. He teaches us how to dress. He teaches us how to walk. Do you remember how to walk, ladies? He's taught us how to walk properly. He's taught us everything we need and guided us in every single way that we need to be a part of Yahweh, to be like Yahweh. We know that Pastor doesn't teach us anything that isn't a benefit and safety for everyone. That we know for sure. We have to believe that. He's never, ever spoke anything except for safety to us. We will have peace. We won't have misery if we obey the things that Pastor has taught us. I think about when I came for my very first feast. This is just kind of an example. I think about when it comes to believing without seeing and how important it is. When I came to my first feast, the wall had just went up. So the separation had just started. And there were people that weren't very excited about it. I remember that very specifically. I couldn't tell you who they were, if they're even still here. But I remember people griping about it. And I remember thinking, how in the world would you not like the wall? I felt so comfortable and I felt safe. And it was so much easier to pay attention to the things that were going on. And we had workshops with just women. I mean, I thought that was extremely awesome. Now, I came a few months before that, and the wall was still there, but I had never been here before. So I came. They told me that the women had their own door to come in. They told me where the door was. I'm not saying this has anything to do with why I was extremely excited the wall was up, but it probably did help. So I come, and I parked right out here. Y'all know where right out here is, right? I got out of my vehicle, and men were everywhere, and they were looking. They were looking at me, and it wasn't like they were looking at me inappropriate. They were looking at me like, what's wrong with you? I looked at how I parked. I'm like, I know how to park. Everything's fine. Like, why are they standing like this and looking at me? I was uncomfortable. So I come in the door, still not knowing anything, enjoyed services. Pastor spoke. It was awesome. Come back for feast. I learned that the women don't park where the men park. I was so embarrassed. Even though it had been months before, I was still so embarrassed. But we have to believe that Pastor has everything set up. Everything he's teaching us is for our benefit. It's for our safety. I can guarantee you, anyone who was murmuring and complaining about the wall, I bet they know now why there's separation. Pastor's taught us that experience is not the best teacher. Experience is not the best teacher. Yisrael Hawkins is the best teacher. I mean, we know these things. We just have to be very strict in doing what he tells us to do. I have another example. We've heard for years and years and years on how to raise our children and to be sure that we don't introduce the world to our children. It's important. You know why? Because Pastor told it to us. We know that if Pastor's telling us, do not let your children be introduced to the world, don't allow worldly things to be brought into your homes that your children can be around and learn, it's obviously for safety. It's obviously the way we become like Yahweh. It's almost like when we look at his laws and they all work together. Believe without seeing is the same way. I mean, in my mind, it's the same way. Because when we believe Pastor, even if we don't see the outcome, if we can't see the outcome of the things that Pastor's teaching us to do or not to do, Trust me, he can see the outcome. He can foresee it. He's been trained to do so just like Yahweh can foresee it. He can foresee it. We have to believe him. We have to obey him. It's very important. But I think a lot of mothers can relate to this. You have children at home that you're guarding. You're guarding from the world. You don't take them out there. You don't have a TV at your house. You don't have a computer at your house. And you don't have internet access with your phone that they're available, that they could get to. But they come home one day and they're singing a worldly song. Now, you're not of the world, so you don't know that it's a worldly song. You're just like, what are you singing? So you ask them, what are they singing? And they sing it for you because, of course, there's nothing wrong with it. They learned it from someone in the house of Yahweh. They tell you who they heard it from. And you tell them it's foolishness. Don't sing it. The parents of who knows what child, because it may not have even been the child that was singing it. Another child could have taught it to that child. Do you see the importance in believing without seeing? Yahweh has everything set up so perfect for us. We wouldn't go through so much misery in our lives. We wouldn't cause misery for other people if we believed the one sent. We have to stand strong on this. We have to believe the importance. We have to truly trust in the one sent, and we cannot waver from the things that he's teaching. We have to be very strict with it, and we have to think of others. Believe without seeing is a safety measure in our lives. And with this, I will turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. So as you know, we're talking about believing without seeing. My title today is The Foundation of Believing Without Seeing. So when people hear believing without seeing, everyone thinks big. But it's the little things. Our faith in Yahweh is reflected in the seemingly minor details of our day-to-day lives. If you can persist and have faith in Yahweh in the troubles of times, in the day-to-day troubles, the times people may disappoint us, the times we feel overwhelmed and continue to trust, pray, and hope in Yahweh, that's evidence of believing without seeing. We have to believe the promises Yahweh has given us in order to hold fast to him, his overseer, and his house. As you've heard before, the definition of faith is the complete trust or confidence in someone or something. The foundation of belief is faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. To understand belief, we have to look at the evidence of our faith. Our faith teaches us that the house of Yahweh is the pillar and ground of the truth. And from the house of Yahweh, our knowledge of Yahweh is derived. Our faith teaches us that we have to be baptized, we have to repent, and we must convert. We are taught that we are the living stones. We make up the house of Yahweh. Therefore, our faith and belief in Yahweh is what makes the house of Yahweh strong and immovable. Because of our faith, we have made promises to Yahweh. I will wait on Yahweh. I will not go out of my place, and I will remain in the house of Yahweh forever. Those are promises we made to Yahweh in front of the courts of heaven. These are the same promises the people of old made to Yahweh through the faith. Yada 1 verse 3, I exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. The word contend is to struggle to surmount, meaning struggle to overcome. If we didn't have to contend to keep the faith, 3 out of 4 would not fall away. It is our faith that ultimately proves our belief in Yahweh. How willing are we to struggle to keep the faith? Romans 8, verse 35, 38-39. Who will separate us from the love of Messiah? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor Malachim, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh, which is in Yeshua Messiah, our King. These were the struggles of our forefathers to keep the faith. What struggles do we face today? The influences of the internet, social media, trendy clothes, conflicts and disagreements, not clearly understanding information brought to us by our overseer or counselors, but most of all, our need to hold on to the old person that we were, instead of letting go and becoming the person Yahweh wants us to be. To keep the faith that will be delivered to the saints, we must be willing to overcome these struggles and let nothing separate us from this faith. Faith without works is dead. The works that come from our faith is our belief in Yahweh as the supreme creator, our belief in Yeshua Messiah as Yahweh's only begotten Son and High Priest over the house of Yahweh, and our overseer, our last day's witness, is evident through our daily actions and how we love Yahweh and how we love our neighbor. Yochanan 13, verses 34 to 35. I give a new commandment to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, for the love you have for one another. And by this you will know the faith and belief we have in Yahweh will become evident through the love we have for one another. And last but not least, we cannot forget hope. Hope is like the cherry on top of a cake. Hope is the fuel to our faith. Hope keeps our faith alive. It gives us a focal point in which to direct our belief in Yahweh. If we don't have faith and hope, our belief would wither away. Romans 8, verse 25. For if we hope for what we do not see, then we eagerly wait for it with enduring persistence. Faith brings about belief, which is fueled by hope. Believing without seeing is intertwined with the faith. Remember, faith without works is dead. And one of the most important works of our faith is our belief. Belief in Yahweh. Belief in Yeshua Messiah, who is our High Priest and soon coming King. And ultimately our overseer, who will lead us into the kingdom of Yahweh. And with this, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. We are speaking on Believe Without Seeing today. And the title of my speech is Beware the Optical Illusions. In Matthew 19, 24, we see that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. In verse 26, Yahshua said to the people that were there, with men, this is impossible, but with Yahweh, all things are possible. And that's something that we really have to believe and hold on to, that with Yahweh, everything is possible. In Yochanan Mark chapter 9, verse 22, Yeshua was asked to heal a man's son who spent his whole life going through convulsions and everything. And in verse 23 of that chapter, listen to what Yeshua said. If you can believe, that's what it's all about. If you can believe, all things are possible for him or her who believes. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines believe as to consider to be true or honest, to accept the word or the evidence of, to accept something as true, genuine, or real, to have a firm or wholehearted religious conviction or persuasion. Yahweh wants us to believe. He wants us to believe in his 613 laws. He wants us to believe in the prophecies that we are being taught. He wants us to believe that his house has been established in these last days, so we have a place to go to learn these things. He doesn't leave us to search in the dark, groping, and trying to find what we're looking for. Yahweh has sent us someone, as Yochanan chapter 6, verse 29 teaches, someone that has labored for years to understand, to correct, and to present the word of Yahweh, once again restored in this time period. That's a prophecy that's been fulfilled today. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9 tells us, yes, at that time, we're living in that time right now, I will return to the peoples the pure word. That pure word is Yahweh's word. It's Yahweh's laws. It's Yahweh's prophecies. The law and the prophets, so that all of them can call on the name of Yahweh, so we can call on the name of Yahweh. Think about it. We have that privilege. We have that blessing. And serve him with one accord. That's unity. That's being in unity. It's something that is promised to Yahweh's house in these last days, in this generation. We will be in unity. We will be working together to accomplish everything that has to be accomplished. You heard the announcement this morning about the sewing project. If you can sew, help so that we can all be in unity. It's lifting up and encouraging one another. That's Philadelphia, where everyone has a common goal. We have that common goal. And that goal has been presented to us by one person so that we can all learn and grow together. And the goal is not putting down the teachings of the house of Yahweh. The goal is not putting down the 1 cent of Yahweh. It's standing firm on the foundation of the laws and the prophets. Years ago, I was reading about the 7 works of Yahweh. It was before I came to the house of Yahweh. And I so wanted to be a part of the Philadelphia group. But as I read, I knew it was impossible. Because if it actually existed in today's time, everyone would go there. Who wouldn't want to? Instead, I saw the religions teaching the scriptures to deceive the people so that they couldn't find this wonderful place that we're now sitting in today. When I came to my first feast, I knew for sure everyone in the house of Yahweh was already perfect, and I had a long way to go. I didn't realize that this was the testing ground. But it didn't matter. With all the tests and trials, it didn't matter. This is still the place that I was searching for. The testing ground. The testing ground of a person's faith. Faith in Yahweh. Faith in what we are being taught. I learned that the wheat and the tares will grow together for our perfecting, as Jacob chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says. Count it all joy when you fall into various temptations and trials, knowing that the testing of your faith develops endurance, and let endurance have its perfect work, perfect and complete, But we also have a scripture with a promise. And it's been said today already, 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no test that will come up on any one of you that is too difficult for you. He says he will not allow, and that's Yahweh, he says he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. So if you are being tested, remember, you've got this. You can do it. Believe it. It's written. But we also have a warning in 2 Kefa chapter 3, verse 3. First, you must understand this, that scoffers will come in the last days according to their lusts. Not according to what Yahweh wants, but according to their lusts. So how does a person defend against a scoffer? In Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the prophecy, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So if a scoffer is sent to distract us, trying to entice us with their optical illusions, you know, Pastor can teach us to that the picture. Pastor can teach us that this is a wise old man. And we look at it and we see it. But the scoffer comes behind and he twists and he turns and she takes things out of proportion. And as she's twisting and turning, and as the person is twisting and turning, they say, "No, I studied it out. It's not an old man, it's a dog with a bone." And you can see how they twist it to make it look right. But that's not what we want to see, because surely you will not die is what they're saying. I'm smarter than what the overseer is teaching you. But we've been told to study to show ourselves approved. He has taught us prophecies. Yahweh's name has been brought back. Yahweh's laws are now being taught so all can learn. The house of Yahweh has been established, but there's still prophecies to be fulfilled. The rebuilding of the temple, nuclear war that will destroy one-third of mankind over one part of the earth, followed by the one-hour burning, and then the saints being arrayed in fine linen. These are Yahweh's prophecies. Yahweh determines the time that they come to pass. And I've got to end now, but I want to say one thing. Remember, will the nuclear bombs come as prophesied? Yes. Will the temple be rebuilt in troublous times? Will we see Yahweh Shema settle over us? Will we see pastors standing at Yahweh's left hand? When will these things take place? Only Yahweh knows. Family of Yahweh, believe without seeing that. Is faith. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom. Please be seated. Well, I'm going to continue on in believing without seeing. And you know, in Jacob 2:14, it tells us faith without works is dead. And I believe that, how would you tell a person, like how would I know that a person was someone that believed without seeing? I think I would know her by her works. Does she work? Does she do the work of Yahweh? Because believing without seeing is doing Yahweh's work and believing into the one sent. Now, there was a song, praise Yahweh. There was a song written in 2004, and the women redid it in 2015, and it's called "The Work is Our Reward." And this song just fits believing without seeing perfectly. I'm not going to sing it, don't worry, but I am going to read some of it. So in verse 1, it says, "The work is our reward. It is our joy." Uh-oh. Does that mean I have to do the work joyfully? Does that mean I have to be joyful about doing the work to believe without seeing? Yes. Yes. Just doing the work won't get it. We have to do the work with joy. We have to love the work of Yahweh. It would be useless. What would be the sense in doing the work? Oh, I got to do this. I hate this job. And I know all of us have jobs we're not crazy about. Like, I inherited this little job. I love it. I get to go to the office once a week and do a little paperwork. I just love paperwork. And I said, surely they'll give this job back to whoever had it before I got it. But they didn't. But I did learn to love it and love going down there. And the last couple of weeks that I learned that, I didn't make any mistakes. Judge Tana didn't have to say, Kohana Ria Shekinah. So we can learn to love what we do. No matter where you work, you can learn to love it if you believe without seeing. Because it's the work of Yahweh. How can we not love the work of Yahweh? Praise Yahweh. Now, serving is the work. No matter where you're at, you're serving. No matter what job you do. And I can tell you, I had the honor of going to help a little bit with sewing. I don't sew, but I pulled a little thread and did this. But what amazed me was these women were working 12, 14-hour days doing these robes, sewing them, but not one of them did it begrudgingly. I pick one up every morning, and she's Shalom, and she doesn't say, oh, I have to go do this. She is joyful to go do it. She's worried and concerned about getting it done. That's her main priority. That's loving the work. And all of them, every one of them, I just sat there most of the time. I didn't go anymore, and they didn't ask me to come back. But I think they ran out of those little jobs. But you see, that's loving the work, giving your life for it, not worrying about what I'm going to do. Worry about what you need to get done that Yahweh gave you to do. Now, it says here, too, it's all that we are asking of you, that all our hands might find to do, would never be in vain, and always find a way to serve you. For many days to come for eternity, we set our sights to be next to you, to witness all that you do, to always serve Yahweh, to glorify his name. We will serve you. We will serve the seventh Malach, Israel Hawkins, because that's what he's here for, to bring us to Yahweh. It says this is our life. It's our dream. Is this not your life? If you're here in the house of Yahweh and this isn't your life, I don't know why you're here. Because this is our life. This is my dream. I'm like the speaker said before, out there was nothing, no hope. When I found out about the house of Yahweh and came here, I saw hope, and I'll never let go of that hope. So praise Yahweh. Now, it says, a dream that has come true will never pass away. This we pray, that we might serve you. He says, I could just read the whole song. Okay. He says, we receive our life. We gather strength from Yahweh through you, Israel. You're everything that we need, all that we hope to be. Oh, Israel, you cleanse our hearts, you purify our minds and bodies too. Yahweh, he draws us near to you. That's what it's all about. All we got to do is be like Pastor. His life is the work. He gets up early, he goes to bed late, and he does the work until he can't do it anymore and he has to go to bed. That's how we have to be. No, I'm not saying don't rest. I have to rest. I get up early, but I don't go to bed late. I go to bed early. But you see, that has to be our priority, the work. Now he says, we don't need signs to believe. No, we believe without seeing. And I was thinking about the apostles. They gave up the work, remember? When Yahshua, after he died, they went fishing. We didn't, sisters. When Pastor went to jail and we didn't know what was going to occur, we stayed here and did the work. That is believing without seeing. And I'll never forget that time, and I know you won't either. And the ones that weren't here, you would have stayed. But that is what we have to do. We have to be ready for anything. Well, Yahshua had to go get them, you know. You're fishing. I got work for you to do. That's something we never want. We never want Pastor to have to come hunt us down to go to work. We should never, because if we do, then we're not believing without seeing. And I remember that time because a lot of people didn't believe without seeing, and they're not here. And some that were stayed really didn't believe without seeing. I can remember somebody saying to me, I believe that's him, the seventh Mount, when he's on the stage. And I'm like, well, what is he when he's off the stage? Because the minute you put one little doubt in your mind, pastor says something, I don't know about what he said. I believe it at Yahweh, but that just didn't sound, I'm going to have to just think about this a while. And I'll let you know, I'll decide later, but I believe in Yahweh. No, you don't. If you don't believe in the one sent, you do not believe in Yahweh. So I don't know. I want to say to the South office, I have to say with the gowns and stuff, I didn't want their job either because we all bombarded them. But you know, this feast is going to be the most awesome thing. Can you imagine? Think about us in linen and our minds and hearts, right? And when you wear the linen, it helps with that. I think about how Lucifer is so sneaky. She made polyester so pretty. It has a 15 frequency. That's what a person on their deathbed has. She is pretty smart. But you know what? Pastor's smarter. And all we got to do, we just do what he wants us to do, and we'll be okay. Now, he says here in the 10th book of Israel, in the first chapter, he says, now this is what he says about the work and the believing without seeing. Yes, you're going to suffer affliction. Just endure them, but do the work. Notice, get the work done. That's what you are called for. And do the work of a teacher, priest of Yahweh, or of Yeshua, of the message of the kingdom of Yahweh. Fulfill your ministry. Do your work. Get busy. Hurry. Fulfill this job that is set before you. So keep that in mind and the work. Don't stop the work. Don't go off talking and let your work go. Forget about the persecution. Get your mind on the work and let the other person take counseling for that problem he's having with the persecution and let Yahweh take care of you. We can't do anything about it anyway. Yahweh fights our battles. I told you to begin with how this thing was going to turn out. If you'd had just listened, if we listened about a lot of stuff, if you'd have just listened, I told you how it was going to turn out, and I'm telling you again how it's going to turn out and what you need to do. Keep your mind on the work and supporting the work. That's believing without seeing, and believing in the one sent, sisters. Let's see if I got time to read this. He says in chapter 13, verse 86, now here's your test. You should rejoice in what I'm telling you. You should praise Yahweh, and that I'm trying to keep you from dying. Praise Yahweh. But I'm running out of time. But anyway, in this book, if you want to know about believing without seeing, this is the book, the 10th book of Israel, part 1. He tells you exactly what believing without seeing is. So, sisters, all we got to do now is stick together. We're in the end days. It's here, the last 3.5 years. Stick together, love each other, be kind to each other, and do the work together. And we're going to go into that kingdom together. We're going to see all the things that the deaconess just asked us if we believe. Because we do believe, right? Right. Praise Yahweh. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom. Please be seated. My title today is, Would You Return a Gift from Yahweh? Now, I want you to think about the pagan holiday Christmas for a moment. People focus on buying gifts for one another and giving these gifts, but they're meaningless. And oftentimes, most people don't even want them. And what do? Once they get them, the next day they turn around, they go back to the store and return it. Now, our overseer has told us this, right? He's explained this to us, that the world's gifts, they're meaningless. But I want you now to consider all of us in Yahweh's house. And would you return a gift if our Heavenly Father gave it to you? Think about that. Because he is giving us a gift, and he has given us gifts. And I'll tell you what they are in a minute, but just ponder on that question. Would you return it if he gave you a gift? Let's look at a definition here. We've been hearing about the definitions of believe, right? And I have a definition for you about believe and faith from the Strong's Concordance of the BibleHub.com. And believe is the Greek word 4100. And it means to believe and entrust. It comes from 4102, which means faith and faithfulness. And we heard a lot about that today from our speakers. But look at what 4102, what it says here in Bible Hub, and how it explains it. It's very interesting. It says, faith is always a gift from Yahweh and never something that can be produced by people. So, you know, continue reading here. It says, Yahweh continuously births faith in the yielded believer so they can know what he prefers. But you have to actually yield yourself to believing. But what is that gift that Yahweh gives? It's that gift of belief, sisters. He opened every one of our minds to understand his plan, his laws, and that he has prophecies that have been fulfilled and are coming to pass right now and are going to come to pass. This is what Father Yahweh has given us, this gift. You know, it is a gift of calling at first, right? He calls us out, and this is how he does it. In the Mark of the Beast, chapter 18, page 420, I'll read this to you. It says, Yahweh calls out whom he wills by opening their minds to his truth. Your calling. After one is called out by Yahweh and their minds are open to Yahweh's truth, the truth of Yahweh is so simple to understand. Many individuals can't understand why this truth is so plain to them, yet they can't get others to understand something so simple. Remember the definition, it said, it's a gift from Yahweh and never something that can be produced by people. We can't give this gift to someone else. Only Yahweh can. You know, and it says right here, the simple fact is, no one can understand unless Yahweh opens their mind. So, consider Yahweh has given you a gift, okay? And we know that, and you can reference Yochanan 6:44, no man can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him. That is a very special gift, sisters. It's such a special opportunity we have. You know, he handpicked us. That word draws, it means take to oneself, to prefer, to choose. Look at all the people in the world, and he chose us. And he chose those of us connected with his house, watching today. He chose us. That is very, very special. It's his gift, okay? So we can see here that this gift, this spirit of calling that Yahweh has offered to us, and we have an opportunity to make something of this gift, right? We have to choose then to stay in his house and to start really believing, learning his plan and believing in his plan. So this is a job for the rest of our lives now, okay? This gift comes with responsibility. Okay, we need to maintain this precious gift of believing, which our Heavenly Father has given and offered to us so awesomely and freely. And our overseer, last week, our overseer told us two key ingredients that we should base our belief on, right? He said, you can't believe the scriptures unless you do what? Study the scriptures, not just anything, the scriptures, okay? 2 Timothy 3:15. And then he said, you can't study the scriptures on your own. So, you know, we need a teacher, right? And Yahweh's amazing. He gave us another gift, a teacher, Yisrael Hawkins in these last days. And he's been studying every word of Yahweh for his entire life, really, and even before he was born. You know, Yahweh brought him up from the womb, learning the plan that he had for him and for all of mankind. And so, Pastor said, too, that he told us that what we should study, right? Not just anything, but the books of Israel and the book of Yahweh, okay? Because the book of Yahweh is his plan, and the books of Israel, well, there's the explanation. There's the teacher right beside us all the time. If we've got our books of Israel, we have got our teacher with us, right? And we have to read it. We have to study it. So, but why is this believing? Why is it so important? Why do we have to maintain it? You know, we have to believe without seeing this nuclear destruction, too. Because once it comes, that's it. It's here. It's over. No more opportunity to believe without seeing it, right? The pastor explains this in the sixth book of Israel, chapter 12, verses 30 and 33. He says, The scriptures give you details. The plan is detailed for us today, and the work we have to do, which is bringing 2 billion people out of this worst time of trouble ever. We're going to do this. Yahweh is going to do this through his house in these last days. They won't receive the same reward you will. Do you know why? I've told you before. You believe without seeing. Those who have to have the proof won't receive the wonderful rewards you will. This is a huge difference, okay? If we decide it's too hard, I'm too tired, I don't really care, I want to go out and have some fun now, if that's our choice that we make, there is no more reward for us with Yahweh and his kingdom. We've made a choice, and we've actually returned our gift that Yahweh gave us from the start. It's very important, sisters, that you believe without seeing, and you show that proof to Yahweh by getting yourself ready, as I've told you to do, right? Through that studying. That is the main thing we got to do daily. Yeah, he gave us this gift of the believing mind, but it's our choice to feed it. Remember, food of the Spirit? That spiritual food, it's abundant in Yahweh's house. If we don't feed it, it will starve. And that's the best way I can describe it. It's like if we don't give our bodies physical food, they'll eventually starve, right? We can't keep going. That's not how we were made. Same way with our heart and our mind. We need the spiritual food daily. Think of the Day of Atonement. It's one day we go without food and water. And how do you feel by the end of it? I'm like, I need some water. I need some orange juice. Something, right? We can't sustain our lives without food and drink. Neither can we sustain our spirits and our belief in Yahweh without that constant repetition and rehearsing of the scriptures and our teacher's words ringing in our ears, sisters. A holy young woman of New today said, studying increases understanding, and understanding strengthens belief. That was so superbly said. You know, if we fail to study day after day, we starve ourselves spiritually, and eventually we would stop believing the things we once took great joy in, like the work of Yahweh, as the Kohanim mentioned. Then we start questioning what we are doing in the house of Yahweh in the first place. Why am I here? This is the point, then, where Satan will throw all kinds of distractions at you to keep you, you know, from believing nuclear war's coming. Don't fall into that trap, sisters. What Pastor said a few weeks back, what bothers me is that some don't believe without seeing. Your mind gets blocked with bitterness and hatred, and that keeps you from believing. Bitterness and hatred. It keeps that belief from being there. And we knock ourselves out of a great blessing if we don't believe. As Hebrews 10:39 says, but we are not those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the souls. Listen to Pastor's words as I leave you here and turn it to the next teacher and really think about what he's given us, sisters, and don't return your gift.
What you will secure in the kingdom if you endure.
Believe without seeing. Those who have to have the proof, they won't receive the wonderful rewards that you have. And you know why this carries so much weight, brethren, that you believe without seeing it first. You see the prophecies, it's told to you. Yahweh said it, right? And you believe it. Well, why does that carry so much more weight than believing and seeing? Because Yahweh is going to be telling you things throughout all eternity. You will never be equal with our Father Yahweh. don't even think so. Don't ever think you'll be smarter than Yahweh.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Okay.
I have to share this one story with you. On my way home one Sabbath evening, a few weeks ago, I saw the most amazing sight, unbelievable sight. I saw goats. And the goats were eating, right? Amazing. A whole pack of goats. Nothing strange, nothing new, right? Goats eating. But what was amazing, out of this whole pack of goats, there were two goats that decided to push their head through the little hole in the fence to eat the grass on the other side, as if they did not have enough grass on their side, right? So, in my mind, I'm like, why would you do that? That makes no sense, right? You have all the grass there, but you still want the grass over there. Was it greener? Was it more tasty? Why? What? Why would a goat do this? Right? It puzzled me day after day. Up to this day, I'm still trying to figure out the story with the goat and why he wanted to eat the grass on the other side of the fence. It makes no sense, as my daughter always tells me, Mother, that makes no sense at all. The theme for this presentation, as we all know, is believe without seeing, right? What a fitting theme to bring right before feast. Feast is right around the corner. Sisters, I would like to go over a few points with you to get us thinking, to get us to consider our ways. Sisters, I know it's hard. I know it is hard. The tests and the trials are real and fierce. They come fast and furious. They come. It seems like you can't even catch a break when the day comes. The internal turmoil we go through, the battle in our brain. What should we do? Should we do what we want because the desire to sin is with us? Or should we do what the book of Yahweh says? What should we do? But sisters, we must overcome. And base all our decisions and choices on what matters most to us. Our treasures, where our heart lies, what we love the most. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 to 46. Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 to 46. And it reads the parable of the pearl of great price. Again, the kingdom of Yahweh is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. Who, when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. Sisters, here the kingdom of Yahweh is referred to that one precious stone, this pearl. Priceless and rare. Yes or no, right? You all agree? The house of Yahweh is precious and rare? It is. We are the only one house of Yahweh. Sisters, we are being offered a position in this kingdom that is soon to come. But not only a position, but a ruling position which will last forever. Ruling this world forever. Teaching forever. Are we willing to do what is needed to be a part of this kingdom? Are we truly willing to do this? To be a part of this family forever? To give up everything, whatever it takes, for as long as it takes to get into this kingdom? Are we? This is what it has to mean to us, what the kingdom of Yahweh have to mean to us. It cannot be half done, right? Sometimes coming to services, sometimes going to class when I have the time. If we do not give it our all, we will be found unfit for this kingdom, our all. Sisters, do you remember the ear-owling ceremony? Where we are asked one important question. What was that question? Anyone remembers? Yes. Do you love the house of Yahweh above all else? And what was your reply? Yes or no? You only had two options. Which one did you pick? Yes or no? Yes, we picked yes. Recently, Overseer asked us to research the word love because it has a deeper meaning than what you read in Webster's and Merriam. It has a deeper medium than affection for like a friend. So now I had to go to Gesenius, Hebrew Charlie lexicon, and it defined love as to breed after. Right? To breed after. It also means beloved. It also means to delight in doing. Delight in doing. To breed after. Okay, so try holding your breath for just 20 minutes. What will occur? What will occur? Well, I take one for the team, okay? I tried holding my breath for 20 minutes and I realized three things. First, I could not even last 20 seconds. Secondly, I almost passed out. Almost died from suffocation. The child had to revive me. Three, don't try it. Don't try it, sisters. You can't live without breathing. And this is what the house Yahweh have to mean to you. It have to mean your very next breath. Your very next breath. Let's turn to Matitya chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And the Malach talked with me. And the Malach who talked to me came again and awakened me as a... Oh, shucks. Wrong one. Matitya chapter 4. Satan tempts Yeshua. Then Yeshua was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Verse 8. Again, the devil took him up into the exceedingly high mountains and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the magnificence of them, right? And he said to him, I will give you all of this if you will bow down and serve me. If you will bow down and serve me. Sisters, are we strong enough to do that? When you're offered the best job, when you're offered the biggest houses, if you will serve Satan, what would you do? Would you be like Yeshua and say, Yahweh, your father, you must reverence, and him you must serve? Are we strong enough to do that? That takes willpower. That takes strength. Sisters, this is the last calling. We are on trial before the universe. There is no other work. This is it. There will be no other opportunity. We are in the last 3.5 years. Do not regress, sisters. Don't go backwards. Go forward, right? Turn from sin and our own desires and our own way. If we do not stop what is doing right in our own eyes, we will not be part of the kingdom of Yahweh. The reason I use the story of the goats is because at times it relates to us. Sitting in the house of Yahweh on Sabbaths. But during the week, what do you do with your time? Are we trying to stretch our necks on the other side from the straight path? Are we trying to partake of the other grass? It looks desirable. It looks green. It looks healthy. But looks are deceiving. right? No matter how nice the grass looks, we need to not partake of it. Sisters, no one can be the slave of two owners, because you will hate one and love the other. Likewise, we cannot drink the cup of Yahweh and drink the cup of demons of Satan. You cannot partake of Yahweh's table, the house of Yahweh, and the table of the demons, the gods. We just cannot. It's either or. No in-betweens. It simply cannot be done. Team Yahweh or Team Satan. That is it. Sisters, the kingdom of Yahweh is worth it. And unless we are willing to give up everything, every unbelieving kin, every restaurant, every bitterness, every murmuring, every ounce of pride, every disunity, every disagreement and contention, all of it, we will not be part of this kingdom. Sisters, please love this work. Breathe after it. Pant after it as water. Have a longing for it. Desire it with your whole heart. Be willing to do whatever it takes to make it in the kingdom. This is your one and only opportunity. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom again, great saints. Please sit. I see our time, so I'm going to go fast, I guess. I would like to entitle my portion today, "They Drained His Blood." You remember? He had no blood. These were the words of the Great One sent last Sabbath, 21st Isaiah. They drained his blood. You remember? He had no blood. So today, what I'm asking myself, you will need to ask your own self. I am asking myself what manner of man it is who, Great Father Yahweh, the supreme head of all creation, he thought this man would be suitable. He knew this man would be the one that the entire beastly system, meaning all 12 tribes of Israel, had to agree to drain his blood. What manner of man could he be? These were the words of the disciples, remember? The Great One sent Israel Hawkins taught us very well. And when he gives us something, a seed, he expects us, he says, now if you've been reading it, or if you have been studying, he said, give him time, he's going to tell us why and how Yeshua had no blood. So I'm not going there. All I'm doing today is to ask myself, self, how's your character doing like the man whose blood Yahweh thought necessary to drain? I'm asking myself, can you ask yourself the same question? So I ask myself, and I say, the Great One sent, he talked to Yohanan 20:19-26. He said, you remember when Yeshua, the disciples were there, and they together, and Yeshua just came through the wall. You remember he said that? Yes. Then the Great One sent asked us, he said, did you notice that the wall had no effect on him? You remember he asked that? Yes, he said to us, do you notice the wall had no effect on him? Children, science have done something. They say everything that we are that's around us, trying to understand our environment, is a solid, a liquid, or a gas. So the overseer said, if you've been thinking it. So I've been thinking it. And I said, all solids? Yeshua had the authority over all solids. So I brought my bagel to show the children. Everything that was solid, Yeshua had the control over it. You remember when he turned all the bread to the, multiplied the bread for the people? Every solid had no effect, like the wall he came through had no effect on great Yeshua. Then I brought my iced tea, solid, liquids, and gas. This is my iced tea. All, nothing that is liquid. Yeshua had the authority over them too. An example, you remember when he turned all the water to wine and the people said that was the best wine. You remember that? Nice. Then my gas, I told Lutron to give me a balloon. You're in there, there's gas. In there. We're not going to pop it. In there, gas. Solid, liquids, and gas. You know Yeshua had the authority over space, gas, air. He could, you know, how he descended, he ascended. The gas had no authority over him. He was the one in charge. Yahweh had given Yeshua all that power already. The great one sent said, the house of Yahweh is granted to have so much power as Yeshua had while he walked on earth. Great house, would you like some of that power that great Yeshua had? The great one sent said, Yeshua, the great house of Yahweh today will be granted so much power as Yeshua had. Now, Isaiah is a scripture I really enjoy, Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 describes who and what and why Yeshua was the man that great father Yahweh deemed fit to become our atonement. Isaiah 53. So I have a video for us. You can read with me. I'm going to be reading. Please forgive me, I won't read so fast anymore. But let us see, who was that man? What manner of man do you think it was? What manner of man is he that great father Yahweh deemed fit to have them drain his blood? And can we please read it from Isaiah 53, please, on the video? We're going to read the entire prophecy of Yeshua. Are you ready? Let's go. Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of Yahweh revealed? For he will grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form, no comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Who, what manner of man, we are asking ourselves. He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Yeshua. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by Yahweh, and afflicted. That was Yeshua. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we will be forgiven. We are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers, he was silent. So he opened not his mouth. What manner of man we are talking about? He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. But he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. What manner of man! Yet his bruises, willful sacrifice, pleased Yahweh. For he was put to much grief, much grief. Now he has brought the offering for sin. He will see his seed, he will prolong days, and the pleasure of Yahweh will succeed in his hands. He will see the labor of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant will justify many, for he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he will divide the plunder with the strong. Because he poured out his soul, they drained his blood. He poured out his soul to death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great. I'm glad I had my paper. And he will divide the plunder with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Transgressions. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for our transgressions. Great house of Yahweh, what manner of man is he? And ask ourselves today, do we think like great Yeshua, we can be atonement? We can be made the atonement like Yeshua. So the question is on me, and may we all make ourselves, be willing to make ourselves living sacrifices as great Yeshua did. And with this, we turn over to the great priests of the house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh.